entanglement here. Now what I want to do is tell you how it is we use that entanglement. Okay. Actually, and before I do so, let me just mention here. There's a fantastic article on precisely this. Okay, this whole idea of entanglement and the weirdness associated with that. And basically, so this is an article which talks about the reason why we know that something weird is going on here. The experimental, you can sort of, a thought experiment is done here, okay, which leads you to the to this weird, or an understanding of the weirdness. So this is an article by David Merman. It's way back, a long time ago, 85. But I encourage you to take this article. It's very well written, and to read through it. It's quite similar to what Stefan did with you in one of those peer tutorials a few days ago with the particle. You guys, some were detecting up, some were detecting down, all that stuff. Do you remember that? So it's like that, okay? So, but this, and then this is explained in a lot of detail and stuff. So I encourage you, on the heels of what Stefan did and here, to just go through that and get a feeling for that on your own a little bit more. Okay, right. Okay, so the last thing I want to talk about, we still have some time here. I want to talk about how, as I said, how you use this entanglement. And one use for the entanglement is something called quantum teleportation. Okay, so this is a little bit of a chat talk here, a little bit about quantum teleportation, and it's a love story. Okay, so who are our characters here? So we've got you got it. All right. So we got Alice here, and Alice lives by herself. Okay, and she's lonely. And she has a cat here. And now here's the thing, okay? She's heard that there's this cat out there, and there's this guy called Irwin who has been abusing his cat, okay? So she feels like a humane sense to, you know, go out and retrieve this cat. This is Irwin Schrödinger, okay? So this is Schrödinger's cat, okay? Now you can imagine that this cat, after being through Erwin Schrödinger's experiments, is probably pretty like psychologically messed up. So she's got a psychologically seriously disturbed cat, feline character with her. Okay. Anyways, so and Alice is a she's a theoretical physicist, top-notch theoretical physicist. Where does she work? PI. Okay. So and what? How does she work? She sits on those couches out there and relaxes. Now she works very, very hard, interacting with other researchers, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. Oh, and on top of being a theoretical physicist, she is also a what's the other kind of physicist? Experimental physicist. Okay. So here she is doing experiments. Okay. Now I realize that there's a bit of a problem with this picture. It's not even the right species, okay? And B, that looks a lot more like a chemistry experiment than a physics experiment, right? See, this is the problem with the internet. Like everyone thinks when you think science experiment, it's always like that, right? I couldn't find any like physics experiments, cool physics experiments. Anyways, the point is, not only is Alice a brilliant theoretical physicist, she's also a totally masterful experimental physicist. Okay, it's very rare to have someone who has these two gifts all at once. Okay, so anyways, she's fantastic. Okay, so she lives here on the Earth here, and she's alone, right? She's just got her cat, right? She's not all right. So okay, so but she knows she's met somebody, okay, and this somebody, what's his name? She's met Bob. And Bob lives up on Mars, okay? And now Bob is working in like a research, like there's colonies up there and stuff. This is a little bit in the future. And Bob is like working, he's studying the water that has been found. We find water on Mars now, and later on we found like fossil evidence of life and stuff, and he's studying that sort of stuff, okay? And so he's up on Mars there. Of course, Alice hasn't actually met him, right? She's met him electronically. She's met him on interplanetary dating service, okay? And now the thing about such dating services is, okay, how does Bob present himself? He presents himself as really smart, really cool, like good looking, all this stuff, okay? But how does Alice know that any of this is true, right? So basically, she needs to. I mean, what if it turns out that she gets there and like Bob is just a dork, okay? And like what she's thinking, Bob is like this guy, okay? Like, yeah, right? Okay, so she wants to go up there anyways and check it. She's really anxious to get up there because she's very lonely, and instead of waiting like the entire 4 months or whatever, 6 months it's going to take to get in a rocket ship and, like, you know, carry her body over there. Like, what an old-fashioned idea, right? Carry her body physically over there. What she wants to do is construct a device to teleport herself over, to quantum teleport herself from here to here in a lot less than 4 months or 6 months, okay? So she wants to get there quickly, and she also has the skills to do this because she's super theoretical physicist, super experimental physicist. Okay, so she wants to build this quantum teleportation machine so that she can get to Mars there and hang out with Bob. Okay, so we need to talk a little bit about what quantum teleportation is. So let's see. First of all, what do we mean by the word teleportation? What?
Instant travel.
Okay, I would agree with the travel part. I might not agree with the instant part. Why wouldn't I agree with the instant part?
Nothing's instant.
There's a speed limit in the universe, speed of light. Okay, so one of the first things we would say is, okay, it's travel of some sort, but it can't happen instantaneously. So what we would imagine is something like this. So here's Alice here, and then she's going to end up there somewhere else. She's going to travel. Okay, so by teleportation, we might have in mind not a continuous journey, okay, where she's always sort of there, and we kind of see her or whatever moving, like we see her inside her little car, you know, driving her car or something, right? She somehow disappears here, and then there's some delay, and then she ends up over there, somewhere else, okay? That's sort of what I would think of when I think of the word teleportation. But one of the key things is that there's a time delay involved, okay? There's a speed limit in our universe. It has to be less than the speed of light. Okay, so somehow, suppose we want to get Alice here from the Earth to Mars here. Okay, so one way that we might imagine doing this whole teleportation thing, is to take Alice, disassemble her into individual atoms. Okay, there's a carbon atom, there's an oxygen atom, like disassemble all the atoms. And of course, while you're disassembling Alice, you should be paying attention to how those atoms were connected together. Okay, so that you could reconstruct her again, right? Okay, we don't want to just like wreck her, right? Okay, so disassemble into individual atoms, take those atoms and beam those atoms over, beam the physical atoms, 10 million or 10 to the 23 carbon atoms, oxygen atoms, beam all those atoms over, and including the information, the blueprint of how to put them back together again, and reassemble like a giant jigsaw puzzle. Okay, so what we're imagining this teleportation to be is, instead of like picking Alice up and putting her like whole Alice into a spaceship, a tin can, and hauling her over to Mars and dropping her off, what we're imagining is taking Alice, splitting her down to individual atoms, beaming those atoms really fast over to Mars, and then reassembling them. Okay, maybe that's how teleportation works. Okay, well, it turns out that this is unnecessarily complicated. Here's a fact about our quantum universe that's very important, hugely important. Okay, quantum fact number one: all atoms of the same type, like hydrogen atom, are truly identical, are truly indistinguishable. So what does that mean? That means that an oxygen atom, say here on the Earth, is truly identical to an oxygen atom on Mars. Okay, so all you really need to do is measure the information of how those atoms are put together. Just send the information over and reconstruct Alice using atoms on Mars, because they are truly identical. And there are simple experiments that you can do which show that, like, qualitatively that this is true. It is impossible with any technology ever in the future or whatever to distinguish between one hydrogen atom and another. In other words, if I have two hydrogen atoms like this in the same state, say the ground state, and I were to put them behind my back and shuffle them back and forth like this an arbitrary number of times and pull them back out again, there would be no experiment you could ever construct now or in the entire future history of the universe to distinguish between those. They are truly indistinguishable. So let's use the atoms on Mars to reconstruct Alice. Okay, so that's the idea. Okay, so we will just we don't need to send the atoms. We just need to send the information, the blueprint of how to construct an Alice. Okay, using atoms on Mars. Okay, so there's the problem. We're going to get two copies of Alice. Okay, so here's the Alice on the Earth, and there's a pile of atoms over there. What we're going to do is somehow measure the information about how all those atoms are interconnected and tied together and everything, measure that information, beam the information over, and then use that information as a blueprint to reconstruct Alice out of atoms on Mars. Then we're going to get two identical copies of Alice. Okay, that's a little bit problematic. Okay, so the picture is we start with the real Alice over here. We start with a big heap of atoms over there, same number of carbon atoms as an Alice, same number of oxygen atoms as an Alice or whatever. Measure the information somehow, beam that information over to Mars, and then we have this fancy reassembling machine, which basically puts that blueprint into action. Then we have two Alices. What is the problem with having two Alices, two identical Alices?
There's
nothing.
Problems.
Yeah, philosophical problems.
Personal identity and all that.
Personal identity problems. Yes, and actually, let's get more to the point. This Alice over here, she's lonely. She wants to go to Mars, right? To link up with Bob, right? And then what she finds out is her sort of like her twin. It's her twin up there who's having fun with Bob and relaxing, you know, partying and stuff or whatever, right? And, you know, so there's jealousy, and then this Alice is actually then going to get in a spaceship, go over here and, like, you know, like, whatever. It would be a bad scene, okay? So we can't have two copies of Alice, okay? So here's something. Here's quantum fact number two. So the fact is, this can't happen in our universe. It turns out that if we have some object, okay, over here, an Alice or a piece of chalk or whatever, and we want to construct a quantum identical version of that thing, we can't. Okay, it's impossible to do this. It's called the no cloning theorem. Okay, and this was proven, I don't remember when, 90s or something like that. So it's impossible to create a quantum identical version of an object. Okay, so quantum teleportation, whatever it is, must somehow destroy the original. Okay, so what we have then is just the reverse of what we started with. We started with Alice over here and a heap of atoms over here. We end up with Alice over there on Mars and a heap of atoms over here. All the atoms of Alice are still here, but all of the information that tells us how those atoms are connected has been stripped off, and we just have this heap of useless atoms. Yeah.
Is there a new Alice?
And this is... This Alice here is identical to the old Alice.
But the original one is...
She's still dead.
There's continuity in the identity.
Well, yeah, I don't know. These are all questions, right?
Yeah.
What would it feel like for this Alice? She starts over here. And then something happens, information is measured or whatever, and her consciousness, who knows, like, and then at the next moment, the next instant, she finds herself on Mars and she opens up her eyes. I really want to go over to see Bob, and then the word Bob,
is in her head, and
what
then
is real?
All of them.
But the original
right?
one is
she
dead.
Continues
dead. The original one is dead.
But this Alice kickstarts in the same mental state because we know what she was.
Okay, you
well, I don't know. So, okay, suppose that they are quantum identical. Like, there's no way you could ever in any. Okay, let's go on here. I'll convince you how quantum identical this person is. This imposter over here, this second person. Okay, so the original Alice must be destroyed. We are teleporting Alice. We are not making a copy of her. It's not a facsimile. Okay, so. So the big question that we face is, how do we actually measure all the information in Alice? So presumably, it might be possible, right? If I know how many atoms she's got or whatever, and I measure all the information, then all I got to do is send the information over there and reconstruct, right? Using atoms over there. But how do we measure that information? Okay, here's the bald fact. We can't. Okay? All right. So there's quantum fact number, whatever we're up to. Heisenberg uncertainty principle limits the amount of information that we can extract from a physical system. Okay, remember we can't measure position and momentum simultaneously. That kind of situation is happening. And worse, certain quantum information, basically in information in entangled states and so on, you can't even actually measure. You can't measure that. Okay, measurement basically destroys the destroys that delicate superposition of states, et cetera, et cetera. So basically you can't even access that information. Okay, so what that means is our whole idea, our whole dream, Alice's whole dream of teleporting to Mars is a fiction. Okay, it can't be done. Okay, so do you think we should stop now?
No.
No. Let's just get up. Okay, well, it turns out some guy, Charles Bennett, a very bright fellow, and et al., so his colleagues, in 14 years ago, 15 years ago, discovered that quantum entanglement, what I just talked about, the dragon and the flipping coin and these weird things, these two boxes and stuff, that quantum entanglement phenomenon can be used to send the information from Earth up to Mars, but you can send the information without actually looking at it, without actually measuring it. So sort of like you close your eyes and you do this thing and in quantum information just gets sent over there to Mars. But no one knows what it is, okay? So it's really, really cool, okay? So let's see. So let's see how this works. So quantum teleportation is possible using entanglement, okay? So that's the thing. So let's see how this whole thing works. So the first thing is, this is a sort of like a parental guidance warning, okay? So the following is science fiction, okay? We can't actually construct such devices yet at least, and so it's intended for a mature audience only. All right, so here's how it works. Okay, so remember we've got Alice on the Earth, she wants to get to Mars. So there's Alice, and she is in, she's in a meditative state, and she's, you know, there's something that's going to happen to her, and she's going to arrive on Mars. Okay, so here she is on the Earth right now. And what we have here, so that's the Alice. And now comes the physics part of it. So Alice is in this little lab, okay? Where's this lab located?
PI.
Basement of PI. That's why you guys couldn't see the sauna. Okay, we don't want to, like, there's stuff going on in the basement.
Sure.
Okay, so here's Alice in her little lab. And there's a lab also, big fancy lab, also on Mars. Okay, and let's see, what's inside this lab? Accompanying Alice in this lab and in that other lab there is matter. So there's a bunch of atoms. Okay, so there's a million oxygen atoms here, a million oxygen atoms here, a million carbon and a million carbon. So there's big heaps of atoms. Okay, and these atoms, every pair of atoms is entangled. In the same way we had those two halves of the coin, which were entangled, and the dragon had flipped them and put them in those boxes. They're in this entangled state, which I'm indicating with this dashed line. So these are the question mark states that I had before. They are in an indefinite state of entanglement with each other. Okay, that's tricky. Okay, that's a hard thing to set up. You'd have to set up entangled pairs of particles, send some to the Earth, send some to Mars, and so on, and build up this stockpile of specially entangled particles. Okay. Or atoms. Okay, now suppose we've got all that set up. Then what we do is we subject Alice and her matter here to a certain kind of measurement. We don't. It's important that we don't actually do a measurement just on Alice. What we do is what's called a joint measurement. Okay, it's technically called a Belsey measurement. We do a joint measurement on Alice and this entangled matter together. Okay, how this is, so I'm picturing this measurement as some kind of a scan like this. Okay, so some kind of scan happens, and that scan happens jointly. Okay, and what is the result of this scan? Okay, well, a couple things have happened here all at once. Okay, so one of them is we've taken Alice. And this entangled matter, we've done a scan, which means we've extracted some information. Okay, so information has been gone. You can see information has gone into this little box over here. So this is on a hard drive here on the Earth. Okay, a very large hard drive. Tons of information has come there. Classical information, zeros and ones. Okay, another thing that has happened is all of the information that made up Alice has somehow been mixed up. Okay, with the information that made up that entangled matter. So in fact, what has happened is we used to have yellow matter here entangled that way. By making this measurement, we have messed things up. We have taken Alice's atoms and entangled them with that matter over there. So in other words, what we've done is we've transferred the entanglement between the yellow matter here, the atoms here and the atoms here, and we've placed the entanglement between these two heaps of atoms. And in that process, we destroy Alice. Alice ain't there anymore.
Yes.
Okay? She's gone. Okay? So where is Alice now? Let's see.
Hard drive.
That's certainly some of Alice's in there, right? We probably don't want the hard drive to crash. Right? Okay. And now, but something has happened over here. So we used to have this chunk of yellow matter over here. And now I've drawn it as a different thing. I've drawn it as something which kind of looks like Alice, but it's not quite Alice. Okay? It's kind of close to Alice, but not quite. In fact, well, it can be actually fairly different from Alice. So what has happened is, during this measurement process, what has happened is quantum information, in a sense, has gone from here to here. Okay? So remember we have these two question mark states when we were talking about entanglement, and then something was done over here, and then it makes this thing into this sort of definite state. Okay, so basically what's going on here is, oopsie, basically what's going on here is this set of atoms on Mars has been transformed into some definite state. But is it Alice? Well, not quite. Okay, in fact, it could be a whole variety of things. It could be like a tree, it could be a cow, it could be like a fish. Could be like a bottle of water. It could, like, anything made out of the same number of atoms. Okay. Okay. So that's kind of bizarre, right? I mean, so Alice doesn't want Bob to see her like this, right? Because Alice has also like said to Bob that, yeah, you know, like I'm like really smart, I'm like really beautiful, I'm like all these things, and then she comes out and she appears to him as this cow. I mean, that's no good, right? Okay, so she's got to like somehow get herself back to who she was, right? And what's crucial in that is this information on this hard drive. Okay, so the fact is, quantum entanglement has allowed us to transfer a huge amount of quantum information, okay, from here to here. But it's not quite enough. We need a little bit more. We need this information. This is classical information. This classical information we need to now send over to Mars. Okay, can we get that information there instantly?
No,
speed of light. This is where the limitation on the speed comes in. We've got to get this classical information from there to there, and we do so just using radio waves or whatever. Yeah?
Like, what kind of bit rate would you need to get it there in less than 4 months?
Okay. So the amount of information here is truly astronomical, and we would probably maybe some fraction of the age of the universe to send the information at any gigabit rates that we have now. So it's actually not a practical thing. You know, we're just going on just the principle of the thing. Okay, so we got this information here, and then what we do is we need to transform this sort of nearly Alice kind of thing into the true Alice. And so what we do is we use this information, those zeros and ones, to set the knobs, to set the control dials on a particular machine which will make that transformation happen. Okay? And so we use those zeros and ones, we set up all the dials, we hit the button, and this sort of Alice turns through this machine and out pops a quantum identical version of Alice on Mars. Okay? And this version of Alice who appears on Mars is identical in all physical properties. Like is identical. There's no way that you can distinguish between this Alice and the original Alice. There is no experiment, there's no physical experiment which can distinguish the two. So they are quantum identical. Okay? So there you go. That's how Alice gets to Mars, and then she meets Bob, and she finds out, yeah, Bob really is a cool guy, I like that guy, let's hang out, all that stuff. All is well, and all ends well. Okay, so that's it. I should actually tell you something. A couple things. Quantum teleportation does not happen instantly. Remember, it cannot exceed the speed of light. The second thing is to notice that we're not actually transporting atoms. Okay, we're just transporting information. We're not transporting matter. We're transporting the quantum state of something. We're taking some matter over here in some quantum state, and we're putting the matter over there in an identical quantum state. Now the thing is that matter in that identical quantum state is identical to the original. Okay, so it is teleportation. Okay. Sorry. Sure.
You actually
can do it. So you can do it. It has been done on a very tiny scale, of course. We haven't teleported human beings. Okay, and it will probably never be possible to teleport human beings. But on a very tiny scale, this is possible. Okay, so the first time it was done was with a single photon across the lab. Okay, and this was done in 1997 by DeMartini's lab in Rome and Zeilinger's lab in Innsbruck. Okay, so this is Zeilinger. Where's Zeilinger? That's Zeilinger over there and his team.
Okay. Second rule thing.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Can you go back to
the previous slide.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So basically, the first instance of it is I got a photon in one state. Maybe it's polarized this way. We talked a little bit about you learned a little bit about polarization at IPC. Maybe it's polarized this way or this way. Same as an electron. Electron can be spin up or spin this, whatever, in some weird state. Or some combination of up or down. And I can take the electron over here, and I can transfer the quantum state of this electron onto that one. And the point is that once I've done that, this electron is identical to what was over here. So it is the same as having just teleported it over. That is teleportation. You quantum teleport the information. Okay. And so this was done with a photon first. It has been done with an atom. The quantum state of an atom has been sent over. I believe the quantum state of entangled particles has also been teleported. And what do you imagine about as a practical use for this? I can move quantum information around. What can I use that for?
Information transfer.
Really fast computer. I can use that for quantum computers. A classical computer, what does that consist of? Here's a processing device, here's some memory, and here's some wires along which I transport zeros and ones, classical information. If I build a quantum computer which has several components, I have to get quantum information from A to B. What do I use? I use quantum teleportation. That allows me to transfer quantum information from place to place. So this is in fact actually used today. Okay? So this quantum teleportation is used for practical applications, here and now. We'll probably never be able to teleport a human being. It'll probably never be practical. But I think that this alone is pretty amazing technology. Okay, so yeah, so that's basically it. Blah 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 blah. So yeah, is that a question? Yeah.
Is it possible that this band is in some atoms of this band are entangled with the other atoms in the universe, and when I do something,
so it's unlikely that the atoms in that particular pen are entangled, okay, with those atoms, because entanglement is a very delicate state of affairs.
It doesn't never happen in itself in nature.
Well, it happens all the time at like small atomic scale. For sure, it's happening all the time. Like all the atoms in my fingertip and all that, there are electrons in there like at the very very microscopic scale that are in entangled states. Okay, but when you go to sort of lab size like macroscopic scales, to maintain that entanglement is a delicate process.
No, I would say a couple of times, just one atom.
One atom in the pen.
Yeah.
But the entanglement is typically eroded by something called decoherence. So exposure to the environment tends to erode this entanglement over great distances. So even if one atom in that pen was entangled with something over here, it would quickly become disentangled due to decoherence. Okay, so when we're talking about these boxes that we're transporting to Mars and stay on the Earth, those boxes are isolated from the environment. Okay, so you don't allow stray like thermal photons or whatever into those boxes, because a thermal photon is like any photon, it's observing. Okay, and it's interacting. And basically what happens is then the entanglement of that system sort of gets spread out into the environment. Is basically what happens with decoherence. Yeah.
Do you think it's possible for organism, for example, little seed or cell?
Oh, to be able to teleport something that large? Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know. So suppose that we've teleported the state of an atom. Here, say, an oxygen atom in some complicated. Remember those orbitals and that the color of the phase, that color? That's detailed quantum information. Okay, so I've got some oxygen atom in some quantum state. And can I put another oxygen atom in an identical state? Well, so that has been done at that level. So then the next would be two atoms. Can you do two atoms? Can you do four? Can you do 10? Can you do 100? So that's a matter of technology. And surely people will push that technology, right? So as you know, I mean, the double slit was first done with single subatomic particles, electron, blah, 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 and then it went up to full atoms. Whole atoms can be put through there and also exhibit this interference effect or this superposition effect. And then you go up to larger molecules. And how many of you know what is the largest molecule that has been shown to exhibit superposition, quantum superposition, through a double slit?
Buckyballs.
C60. So it's 60, it's a huge molecule. It's basically the sphere, like it looks like a soccer ball or a football, and it's we're made out of 60 carbon atoms. Okay, that's a gigantic, that's a big molecule, right? This big lumbering molecule is like coming up to these two slits and doing this weird either mini world thing, the world splits, or it's existing both at the same time. And you can observe that. So of course you crank up the size. I don't know how big you can go. But that's a fascinating question. Start with the smallest, form of life, maybe a virus. That's still huge. Okay, to teleport a virus, it's unknown whether human beings will how long, if ever, people would to get to that level of technology, right? So that's what you should do. You should get into physics, and just try to do this teleporting bigger and bigger. Right? That's going to happen. People are going to do that.
I hope so.
Yeah. Okay, so yak. Right, so the last thing here, just because I know you probably want to go, we're at quarter after. So I mentioned this article, this beautiful article by Merman, "Is the Moon There When Nobody Looks? Reality and Quantum Theory." So.